You might like to turn in your Bible, if you would, to Isaiah chapter 14. Perhaps we could look to the Lord in prayer. And our God and Father, we do look to you to deal with our heads and our hearts. Thank you. Thank you very much. Spirit of God, honor your own word. Honor the wonderful ministry of our Lord. Father, make it all come out right. Thank you very much. In Christ's name, amen. Just to lock in that which we did, and in chapter 14 of Isaiah, you'll remember in the midst of all of the context, the Spirit of God brings us way back into the past, as it were. And in verse 12, we shared together, "How art thou fallen from heaven, heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which did weaken the nations?" So we're talking about a heavenly being, Lucifer, son of the morning. And we share together to remind us again, Lucifer, the word has to do with to be clear, verb to be clear, to be bright, to shine, to be split, to be in splendor, to be the brilliancy of light, light. And son of the morning has to do with shining or the breaking forth of light. So Lucifer, son of the morning, was full of light. He reflected God's wonderful light. He was in the light. And there was no darkness. There is no darkness anywhere. Anywhere. There's God. And Lucifer, son of the morning, among all the angels that God created, he was a special. And he represented the God of light. He reflected light perfectly. God designed him to do so. Now, having said that, he fell. He sinned, Ezekiel 28, etc. And he sinned. And when he fell, his special design, his special purpose and creation, he lost his job, as it were. The God who had created him for his glory and honor, the God who created him for that glory and honor, in whom is no darkness at all. God is no darkness at all. God is light, and remember, 1 John 1:5, and in him is no darkness at all. God is light. It never says God is darkness. God is light, light. Now, keeping that in mind, if you would, Lucifer fell, and the result, of course, was that he lost his relationship to God. He lost being able to represent God properly, as he should. And thus, losing his relationship to God, he lost being able to represent him as light. And Lucifer, son of the morning, became, as it were, darkness, darkness, darkness. And thus, in his sin, in his rebellion, he went and found a whole bunch of angels, that followed him. And they followed him, and thus they proceeded to enter into the same relationship he had with God, which was nothing, no relationship, as it were. So they became darkness, demons, and all of that kind of thing. And you remember, without turning there in Revelation 16:10, going way into the other end, that in his kingdom, the devil's kingdom, Antichrist's kingdom, is a kingdom of darkness, darkness. The whole kingdom is dark, dark, dark. The absence of light, the absence of God. Now, having that in mind, over, if you would, please, to Matthew chapter 25. Matthew chapter 25. And And in Matthew chapter 25, picking up the thought, we want to lock in the pieces that make it easy to sit on, to stand on. You want to understand something, but you want to understand the foundation that is resting upon. Lucifer, son of the morning, fell. A whole bunch of angels fell with him. And when they fell, they all entered into a negative relationship to God, the absence of a positive one. They were into, without light, without God, darkness. Thus, chapter 5, 25, Matthew, and in verse 41, you remember the judgment of the nations, which is coming up in the tribulation. Verse 41, then shall he say, the Lord shall say unto them on the left hand, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire. Now, that is prepared, it has been prepared, but was prepared for the devil and his angels. It is made ready. Way back here it was made ready. Way back here it was made ready for the devil and his angels. And you pick up the same thought, if it's any help wanting, just for the sake of a point of interest. Verse 34. Then shall the king say unto them on the right hand, come ye blessed of my father, inherit the kingdom prepared. There's your same verb, prepared for you from the foundation of the earth. It was prepared way back here for the devil, for the good and the bad, for the believers, the unbelievers, for the good angels, for the bad angels, as it were, if you might use that illustration. And thus, hell is prepared, the lake of fire is prepared for the devil and his angels. Now hang on to that. Now, God, what are you going to do? What will you do to help them? Now, God could just put them into the lake of fire, hell. But no one's in hell yet. No angel is in hell. Hell's an empty, the lake of fire. Now, here's all these angels, and you've got the good, the unfallen ones and the fallen ones, the ones in the light, the ones in the dark. And here's the dialogue, debate, if you might, between them, in the contest, conflict, and in part process of that. How are we going to clear the air? God, remember now, they never saw judgment. They never saw mercy. Angels never knew grace. There never was a need. Never was a need. God is always who he is. He created them. There was no need. Now, God, what are you going to do that's wonderful? Where we come into the picture. God is going to do something wonderful for us, for them and for us. Over in Job 38 again, if you remember, you know these things, just to remind you. And in Job 38, I would remind you, remember sons of the morning, Job chapter 1, are angels, so you don't have to guess what they are. And remember Job, were you there? All these 100 questions for Job, they couldn't answer. Job, were you there? Job, is God God? Yes, God. Job said, God is God. So when you come to chapter 38 of Job, verse 4, for a little better context, where wast thou, verse 4, when I laid the foundation of the earth? Declare if thou hast understanding, because I can't. Hast thou laid the measures thereof, if thou knowest? Or who hath stretched the line upon it? Who put it out there in just the way it is? Were you there? When the morning stars sang together, and all the sons of God shouted for joy, God did something wonderful. Here's the angels and God. Now, God, what are you going to do that's going to help? Where do we come into the picture? Well, God said, listen, I'm going to demonstrate my wonderful character. God, remember now, you can't change the judgment of the angels. It's all done. But God said, I want to clarify for you. The judgment that I have leveled upon the devil and his angels, the lake of fire, forever, is just and right and fair. Now, let me illustrate for you. And thus, where were you there? The angels are watching the creation of the earth. Now, back over again, if you would, to chapter 1 of Genesis. And remember, this is not common thinking, unfortunately. So, was taking a time to lock it in again. Genesis chapter 1, you know, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. That's true. And God did that. Just plain old did it. Now, and then God goes and says, now let me fill in some pieces for you. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. So God, here is darkness on the surface of the abyss. Just think of the mass out here, chaotic mass of matter, disconnected, not coherent, not cohesive together. And surrounding it is darkness. Now, God, why are you doing that? You don't have to do that. No, we didn't have to do that. Why do you do darkness, God? Well, remember now, in verse 2, darkness was upon the face of the deep. So the veil, and remember, darkness is the absence of light. The veiling, darkness is the veiling of light, the concealing of light, the covering of light. And so now, here God is doing his wonderful work. And in the process, he's doing this. Now, hold your finger here, if you would, and go over with me to Isaiah 45 again. Isaiah 45. All right, hold your finger. That keeps you awake and uses your Bible. We want to add a piece so that we aren't missing it. Isaiah 45, picking up, please, in verse 7. Remember now, God is telling, I'll read verse 5 for a little context. I am the Lord, and there is none else. There is no God beside me. I girded thee, though thou hast not known me. Why? That thou mayest know from the rising of the sun and from the west that there is none beside me. I am the Lord. And there is none else. I'm the only God there is, the only Savior. I form the light, verse 7. I form and fashion the light. And I create darkness. I create darkness. I make peace and create evil or trouble. That means I allow it. God, here you are making it happen. And you know there's no sorrow, suffering, sin. No, but I'm going to, not well with humans. Angels, it happened, but I'm going to do something. I'm going to allow this to take place. I'm going to allow it. I'm going to allow trouble, heartache, sorrow, goofing. People goof, make a big mistakes and get in a lot of trouble. The world does because of sin. I'm going to allow all of that. I'm going to allow darkness. There is no darkness, but I'm going to allow darkness and sin in the world, and it's going to take place. I'm going to allow the evil, the trouble that will, you're going to reap what you sow. Thus, back over to Genesis chapter 1. Darkness is the absence of light. And thus, the canvas is now ready for God to do his work. And in the process of that, he paints. He's going to paint his wonderful canvas, and on it he puts the beginning. Now, what do you put in the middle of God? Here's all the angels. And we know how many angels. Well, Revelation 5:11 says that 10,000 times 10, 10, remember we did it when we did Revelation 5, 10,000 times 10,000, thousands of thousands. See, how you gonna, you can't count them. You can't count them. Like the sand of the sea. Boy, what an audience. God, what are you going to do? I'm going to put out in the middle, a middle. What I'm going to do, I'm going to put a little ball out there, and I'm going to put a ball, and I'm going to enshroud it in darkness. And when you look, what are you going to see? Chaos, wasteness, desolateness, no cohesion, nothing, just hanging out there. There it is, out there in the middle of space, without form, without void, empty, emptiness. No purpose, no, what is it? It's missing something. Missing God. That's right. Now, thus, you're going to do that, God. That's right. I'm going to teach the angels something. And so here we are. We're the actors on the stage of life here. So God, and he adds, you can pick it up, verse 3. And God said, let there be light, and there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good, the light, the fluidness, the movement, the motion, the flowing, the waves. And God saw that let there be light, and there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good, and God divided the light from the darkness, which God created. God created that darkness. Illustration. Verse 5, and God called the light day, and the darkness he called night, and the evening and the morning were the first day. Now, a little later in creation, he's going to go to verse 14. And God said, let there be lights in the firmament, and then God puts all the stars up there, in the firmament to divide the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night. Let them be for signs and for seasons, for days and for years. Let them be for lights in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth. And it was so. And God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night. And he made the stars also by the way. And God set them in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth and to rule over the day and over the night, and to divide the light from the darkness, and it was good, and the evening and the morning were the fourth day. So God had light and darkness, and then he created the stars, earth is already hanging there, that ball, and God put light, is God in this thing? Absolutely. And then God put all the other lights up there. And you know, they're telling you now, the journal's telling you, that they're now saying that they know, I don't know how they ever know, there are 200 billion, that's not the government, doesn't it? 200 billion galaxies that they estimate, let alone whatever else, billion galaxies, not stars, galaxies, wow, 200 billion. And God, and by the way, you'll notice when you read that, God put the sun, the moon, the stars, and then he threw out like this, 200 billion plus galaxies and trillions and trillions and trillions and trillions of stars. Just like that. Wow. That's why you read, when you read God's word, he will always bring out to you what? I am the God that created the heavens and the earth. You ought to be impressed. You ought to be impressed. Now, having said that and keeping that in mind, on this canvas that God has put out on the table for us to look at. And here the earthly conditions, morning and evening, sun rising, sun setting. And all of these are to help people on earth and angels otherwise, to what? To learn what? To understand what they need to know about the whole business of sin and God and grace and mercy. God is light. In God, God is no darkness at all. In no darkness, sin, which makes for the absence of a holy, heavenly, happy God, sin louses up that whole relationship. And thus the absence of light. That's right, the absence of light. So God, here we are, working out, looking out. God, how's it going to go? Now, one other piece of information that will help you. Remember now, God made the darkness. He made the dark. So you have a night and a day, a night and a day, a night and a day. God could have made it all light with no darkness. God could have made it all darkness. But God made it that way. Why? What's the lesson? I want you to learn something. I want you to know something of what the whole thing is about. It's about darkness and light, right and wrong, God and that which is anti-God, truth and error, right and wrong. The whole ball game. I want you to know what this is all about. Why evil? Why any of this? God said, I'm going to give you a visual reminder every single day of darkness and light, what the whole thing is about, so you never forget, never lose out on what this is all about. I am the God of light, and me is no darkness at all. And the devil has got there and excluded me by sin. And I'm going to illustrate why they're going to go to the lake of fire. And anyone that joins them because of darkness, the absence of God, the absence of light. Revelation chapter 21. We want to lock in again that which you want to have as pieces of information. Revelation chapter 21. And you'll notice, please, chapter 21, in verse 23, new heaven, new earth. Verse 23, the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon to shine in it. Why not? For the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. The Lord Jesus said, I am the light of the world. And when we get there, this is 1 John, you know, God said, listen, I am the light of life. I made it what you have. And I am the one that helps people understand there's a God. Romans chapter 1. Everyone knows I'm God. I let every human being know I'm God. And no one has to tell them. I let them know. Now what they do with that in their heart, because they know totem poles aren't God. Statues aren't God. Everyone knows that. Kangaroos aren't God. You don't have to be very smart to know that, because you shoot kangaroos and have kangaroos too. You see, wow. And they know that. You all know that. But then we get religious and we substitute absurdity for reality. Wow. Now, and thus, verse 24, and the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it, and the kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor into it. Chapter 22, verse 5 again. And there shall be no night there. They need no candle, neither light of the sun, for the Lord God giveth light, and they shall reign forever and ever. And darkness is gone. Because there is no light, darkness to God now. So why you got it now? Because something's happening. You remember, without turning there, in Genesis 3, 10, thereabouts, 10, etc., Adam and Eve sinned. And you know they lost the coat of light they had. They were naked and not ashamed. They were covered, clothed, like God, the God of light. They were dressed. When they sinned, they lost the covering. And then, you know, when God came to take his afternoon walk in the garden, when God came, they hid from, they wanted to hide from him, the light, to hide from the light. And they covered themselves, their nakedness, and hid behind the trees to hide from the light. Why? Because sin makes for darkness, the absence of a relationship to God that is required to enjoy God. God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. Thus, Isaiah chapter 5 again. Isaiah chapter 5. And you would pick up, please, in thought. Remember, here's all the woes W-O-E-S, woes. Judgment gonna come, one after another because of unbelief. And thus, Israel, how are you going to handle the business? You're in the presence of God, the tabernacle, the temple, Isaiah, and here you are looking, and wow, how are we going to live with God? God is light. Here's all the Gentile world out there doing what it does. Well, here's Israel in Jerusalem and thereabouts. They're out. And there's Israel there. Wow. Now, how are we going to live? How are we going to handle them? How are we going to handle God? Ah, there is a solution to handle God. How do we handle light when we're not right? When we're in the dark, unbelief. How do we handle it? We can't live in the light. It exposes us. That's right. We have a way to do it. Isaiah 5, you know, in verse 20. Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. When we turn it upside down and we're going to call good bad, we're going to call bad good. We're going to call darkness, which we're in, light. And we're going to call light darkness. So now, how are we going to handle it? Because we're going to redefine it and rethink it, so it isn't going to change anything. Thinking doesn't change what reality is. So we do it in that way. And we do that. And that's how we're going to get along. That's how the world gets along. They have religion. I don't need to know God. I have my religion. I have my beliefs. I have what I believe. Isn't that wonderful? But your belief doesn't save you. God saves you, not your belief. Your belief makes possible, if you put it in the right place, for the Lord to save you. You do the believing, God does the saving. Not you, not me. No. So now, here we got a way out, and Israel and the church follow suit, you know, doing the same thing, following the system instead of coming to God, as you'll see. Over to John chapter 3. The Gospel of John chapter 3. You, again, are familiar, but pick it up. John chapter 3, please. And picking up, please, in verse 17... Well, even verse 16, why not? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but on the contrary have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but on the contrary, that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth, resting, relying upon, truly confident in, committing their whole heart down upon him, he that believeth on him is not condemned. Judged already? No, not condemned. But he that believeth not, that isn't believing, is condemned already. Well, why are they condemned already? Because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Well, why don't we rest in God's solution? God's solution to darkness is God. God's solution to death is God. He's the God of light, the God of life. He's the solution. Why won't we trust him? Why don't we understand what he's done for us? Oh, because it exposes us. And we're trying to cover. Adam and Eve at least came out from hiding, and God clothed them with coats of skin. That isn't true for humanity, generally speaking. Thus, verse 19, 3 and 19. For this is the condemnation. What is it? That light is come into the world, and men loved darkness rather than light. Why? Because their deeds were evil. And every one that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds, his works, should be reproved. Would you want to come out and see that you aren't quite as nice as you thought you were? You have to realize God died because you were really like you are. Your condition truly, truly, truly requires God's saving grace. Otherwise, you aren't going to go anywhere. So, God, are we really that bad? Yes. Well, I don't want to know I'm that bad. I don't mind a little sin. I do things that goof. I know I made mistakes and that. And after all, everyone else does the same thing. And God said, that's right. They're all in the same boat. Now, so God, we don't want to be exposed. So we aren't going to come to you. We're going to love darkness rather than light because our deeds are evil. We don't want to be in the light at all. Thus, over if you would, to John chapter 8. John chapter 8. All of it's taking place for what? Well, it's a drama of redemption taking place. It's all about dark and light and right and wrong. And God gave you all kinds of stuff so you know it, night and day and darkness and light, and so you could have an illustration. How do you have to, why be in the dark when you can have light to understand? Why on earth am I here? Why are conditions like they're at, that like they are? Why is this, God? Well, John chapter 8, if I may, picking up that, among other things, it could be said, verse 12. Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, 8 and 12, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. I want you to know I've come to give light. I've come. That's why I've come. Come to give light. Light. I came. That's why I come. Hang on to that. I came to give light for you in darkness. God, did you know we were all going to goof and sin? I did. But before the foundation of the earth, my Son agreed to be the perfect substitute, the perfect Savior, to save it. And that's why it all proceeded. God had a solution before he even started. Now, thus, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness. Darkness. Now, just to tie that together for a believer. If you're a believer, go over to chapter 1 of 1 John. 1 John chapter 1. If you know the Lord, Jesus Christ is your Savior. And if I may, John chapter 1, picking up, please. Oh, in verse 5. 1 and 5. This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But on the other hand, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ continues to cleanse us from all sin. Like your eye, cleaning your eye blinks, cleaning, time, it just keeps going and going. Cleaning your eyes. The blood of Jesus, we walk in the light. Are we in need of being in the light? Absolutely. Because verse 8, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. Verse 10, if we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar. And the word, his word is not in us. God, are we what we really are? Yes. What allows us to be in your presence, in the light? How can we be fully exposed into all of our depravity apart from you, God? How can we be exposed to you in the light? What does the light show? The light shows the saving work of our Lord Jesus Christ. And the blood of Jesus Christ is cleansing you from what? All sin. You're walking. Say, well, that doesn't mean I'm going to be a gooder guy. I'm going to be a good guy. I'm going to be better. Yeah, you can try it. It may last a day or two, if it lasts that long. Isn't it better to thank God you are just who you are and you have no idea who you are? God does. Saved by grace. And you're able to live with all of the frailty and infirmity, faultiness before God. and the blood of Jesus Christ is cleansing you from all sin. That's how you live in the light. Wow. And we walk with God. Are you a good guy? No. If you knew how bad I don't even know how bad I am. And if you want to say anything, that's why you could run for president if you're a believer, if your heart's right. Because no matter what they're going to dig up, you know, when you blew your nose when you were three, blew your nose. When you were four, you kicked your mother, you know, mad at her. You don't care because all that they say is true. And it's more than that. And if you talk to God, he'll tell you all about me. And you're free. Truth will what? Set you free. That's right. You see? You don't have to cover anymore. You're just plain old rotten. How's that? And you're free. God saves us. Wow. Now. And the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. Now, over to, if you would, to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians and chapter 4. And in chapter 4, you would recall the gospel. I'll read it because you'll catch it, I'm sure, a little. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 3. Remember the good news? The good news is that God in Christ is able to save you to the uttermost. The content of the gospel is our Lord Jesus Christ. Remember we put it up. The content of the glass is water. The content of the gospel is Jesus Christ. Now, he's the good news. Verse 3. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. In whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which what? Believe not. If you don't believe, you're condemned already. Lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, the light, not darkness, the light of the glorious gospel, the good news, Jesus Christ said, I am the light of the world, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves. No. But Christ Jesus, the Lord. And ourselves, your servants, your slaves, for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness. Way back there. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of the darkness, hath shined. Where? God, what's the message? I'm going to do what I did then. Darkness. And in a moment, I spoke and light came. You, humans, are in darkness. And I've sent my Son, the light of the world, to be the light of your life. Thus, verse 6, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness has shined where? In our hearts. Why? To give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God. To give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God. You mean when I see the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior, you receive God's wonderful provision to take care of your darkness. God would bring into your dark heart light. In the lovely person of the light of the world, our Lord Jesus Christ. And he would come into your heart and he would bring a knowledge of God. God who is light and in whom is no darkness at all. He will bring into your heart a knowledge of God. A knowledge of God. A knowledge of the glory of God. The glory of God. The marvelous, marvelous glory of God. You remember from Romans 1. They were unthankful in their heart and would not give God what? Glory. No glory. The heart, dark. Romans 1, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22. Dark heart. That's right. God said, I came in my grace to bring light into the darkness. And when I come to know the Lord as my Savior, I find out a God who is light and right. And I who am in darkness and wrong discover the reality of him and my own reality. I am really what I am. And God's able to save me. I don't have to hide from God, run from God, or be religious. I don't have to get tied up in ritual, rigors, or anything else. I can thank God and rest in His finished work. And thank God for His wonderful presence in person. And thus, dear friend, in the light of that, and you'll notice, please, in verse 6, to give the glory of the light of the knowledge of the glory of God. Where am I going to find it? In the wonderful face, the word face, the word presence, into the wonderful face of the presence of Jesus Christ. When I received the Lord Jesus Christ, I received a light, the light into my life. He's the light of my life. He lightens my darkness so that I can walk in the light. And the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. We already got it. We aren't trying to kid ourselves about anything. No, we're living in reality. Wonderful reality. Now, in the light of that, you remember, please, in Genesis chapter, you have to turn there. In Genesis 1, you can look at it at your leisure. And the Spirit of God brooded. He hovered over. Intensive. He busied himself. He quickened himself. He was all excited. The Spirit of God hovered over this ball, darkness. And the Spirit of God, as it were, took it in his hands. And he took it in his hands and he hovered over it and looked at it full of excitement, energy, quick, moving, trembling. And he did it. What did he do? He brought it. He took the ball in darkness. And he took the nothingness, the wasteness. No cohesion, no nothing. And God took and did something wonderful. And he created the sun, the moon, the stars, trees, bugs, birds, humans. And God did all of that. God did that. Uh-huh. And do you know, if you and I were reading in Luke chapter 1, verse 35, when the Lord Jesus Christ was born, before he was born, conceived in the Virgin Mary, do you remember? And the Spirit of God, the Spirit of the Most High God, overshadowed her body. That's how she had the baby. The Spirit of God. That's the word you have. That's the kind of word. Genesis 1:2. The Spirit of God brooded over the darkness and quickened it. God, what did you do to the wonderful girl Mary? I brooded over her. And I took where there was nothing. And I made it live. And the child that was born was the Son of the Highest, God. God, you did that. That's right, I did that. And you know what? That's what I want you to know. He is the solution to your life. He's the gospel, the good news. And if you trust him as your personal Savior, you will have from darkness to light. And God will do a wonderful thing. Because you see, God, in doing that to the perfect humanity of Jesus Christ, is able to take yours and mine, our fallen humanity, and do something wonderful in it, to bring into our darkness, our absence, the absence of God, the absence of life, the absence of light, to bring into our heart who he is. Wow. To bring light into my life. Life into my life. In the lovely person of Jesus Christ. Wow. Now, having said that, and God, here you are doing all that. And God's able to do that to a human heart. That's what the gospel's about. And that's why sun, daylight, God, why did you do it the way you did it? You could have done it a different way. Ah, but there would be no message. There would be not the message. You know that the diamond shows up. The jewels show up. If you put them on white paper or white. But if you put a black cloth and lay them on top, do they not glitter? God said, against the dark, bad, evil backdrop of sin, I am going to show the magnificence of who I am. My grace and my mercy, my grandeur and my goodness. I'm going to show it. And you say, well, how are you going to do it? Well, I'm going to do it when you believe on my Lord, the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm going to take you who are in darkness, and I'm going to save you. And you who don't want to be, you want to stay in darkness, you can. Hell is prepared for the devil and his angels. So you stay right there. You want to stay in darkness? You'll go and you'll keep in darkness. You remember if you were out in the ocean, middle of the ocean, and you've been out there in the middle of the ocean, you stand up on deck and there's the sun shining, and you look out into the ocean and there's the sun shining down, bouncing, sitting on top of the water, and the sun goes all the way down, so far down. Wow! How deep is the ocean? How glorious is the sun. The sun is able to fill the ocean, as it were, down to its depth. Ah, wow. But then we go to a lake, a lake, and then there's a boat, a little boat. And you know, the same sun shines down, and that lake is only comparatively not very deep at all. And the sun shines down and falls down, and you look from the boat, and there's the sun sitting in the water, down into the water. Wow. Wow. Do you know? Here's a little spring bubbling up, spring of water sitting there, only maybe 6 inches deep. And you know the same sun shines on that water. And the sun, same sun, and the sun all the way down shines right down through it. Did you ever see in the morning a dew drop, a water drop from the night? And when you see the water drop from the night, if you look right, you'll see the glistening of the sun. The little water dewdrop reflects the same sun in the ocean. That's right. That's right. God, what have you done? I've made it possible, you know. And by the way, you know, it didn't make any difference whether you had an ocean, very big, or a little dewdrop of water. Didn't make any difference. The sun was able to be the sun, S-U-N, in it. Do you know when a heart, a little believing heart, comes to God? And you say, well, I'm nobody. Well, join the club. Join the club. And we're all little nobodies. That's right, God. And you know, the little, when we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and God comes in and will save you to the uttermost. As many as receive him, to them gave he the right, the power, the privilege to become children of God, to be lights, children of light, in the light of the world. And there's a little light, and the little light is just in a little life, a little dewdrop. But you know, the same sun, S-O-N, that you receive as your Savior, is the same infinite God who fills forever. True. The same God out there, that we're in his presence. And he takes and will do into your heart a little light. God puts himself in there. He's the light of the world. And it's all about God, who he is. And angels, take note, won't you please, that we're trophies, those who are saved. We are trophies of his grace, are we not? So angels, bad guys, good guys, angels, good or bad, they look at us, ha-ha, there I am. Oh, boy, and the devil could say, you could accuse him, and why would he ever get to heaven? Never will he get to heaven, except for the Lord Jesus Christ, who makes that possible. And that's how we're going to go. And so the angels can, I used to be careful with the devil, you know, because I know he's not omniscient, but I want you to know I was careful in what I did. Pulpit-wise, prematurely, I never let it be known what I was going to do because of that activity. But now I don't care anymore. I mean, it's a wall. Who cares? You know, and do whatever you want. I don't. Devil's going to do whatever he wants to do. That's all right with me. All right with me. He can't interfere with the will of God, can he? How can the devil do anything except yield to God and his will? And that's what you want for your life, isn't it? That's what you want. Oh, God, help us. We're just little dewdrops, just little pieces of dust, God. And there you is, to be able to bring in the darkness light. in my death, life, in my wrongness, rightness, in my badness, goodness, God. Wow. Thank you very much. Huh? Thank you. Our Father and God, we look to you to deal with our head and heart and help us. Help us very much. Spirit of God, honor your word, honor yourself, honor the ministry of our Lord Jesus Christ. Honor all that he has made possible for us. And for those who know you not as Lord and Savior, God, convict, convince them, our God, do a work in their head and heart that they might come to know you as their Lord and Savior, God. And God, thank you very much that it is possible, real and right, and you're here, present now, to make it happen. So God, we're looking to you to deal with us now and any time, any hour, God, where we want to move us into the place where we'll truly, truly know you as our Lord and Savior. God, thank you very much for your word, your working, your grace, your mercy. Thank you. Encourage each heart, and we'll thank you very, very much. In Christ's name, amen. Thank you for that. We might sing, please.